Morning, everyone.
As Sasha said, penultimate sermon, two to go, unless you'll maybe let me come back as a guest sometimes, Colin. What do you think? Maybe, who knows? We'll wait and see. Sasha's trying to make me cry before the start of the service. He keeps saying this is your penultimate sermon, I'm like, give me a chance, man. I'm trying not to cry week by week. But it's really good to come around God's word again. I have a question for you. Right at the start of our time this morning. Why do you come to Hillview? I wonder if you've pondered that question much. Or use whatever language you prefer, because of course the truth is Hillview is not really, primarily at least, a place to which we come. It's not the building. That's not what Hillview most fundamentally is. Hillview is the people that God has gathered together in the church family here. So you might say, rather than why do you come to, you might say, why are you part of this local expression of Jesus' body, of the body of Christ called Hillview Community Church? There are lots of interesting answers to that question, and most of the teenagers are out just now moving up, but if they were here, some of them might say, well, the reason I'm here is because my parents come here, so I don't really have much of a choice in the matter. For others of you, you might say, well, someone took me along at some point. Or you might say, well, it broadly fits the different beliefs that I had, or at least I can get on board with most of where Hillview's at in terms of its sort of theological understanding of things. Maybe some would say, I came to this church so that my kids could be around other children and young people. That's a reason I've heard in the past. Others might say, to the point of the sermon a couple of weeks ago, well, the relationships mean a lot to me. I'm loved here, and I get the opportunity to love other people here. Maybe some others might say, well, I love the times of worship. I love the times around God's word. I remember someone in their membership interview said, I really like how generally you go through books of the Bible. That's your sort of modus operandi. Well, sorry, we're not actually doing that today. This is a bit of a standalone one. But, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons. Or maybe it's a combination of a few of those things or some other things. And then throw into the mix the blessing of the parking outside, and it just seals the deal. Now, I know the parking was a big deal for some of you. Some of you have told me, yeah, the thing that attracted me to this church was I didn't have to walk for 15 minutes to get to the building. And it is a beautiful thing out there that we have that big car park. Not every church has have big car parks outside them, a lesson Lindsay and I are soon to have to learn week by week at Gerrard Street. But this question, this issue of why we find ourselves part of any particular church, this is something that we need to be so careful with. We need to be careful to make sure that we don't put us and our needs as the most fundamental aspect of what life in the Church of Jesus Christ is about. Now, I say that and immediately want to caveat it and say, don't get me wrong. That is part of what it means to be in this church. As Sasha has already said this morning, God loves you. God cares for you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about your ups and downs in your lives. And a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, we were looking at this idea of what it means to be family together. That God is a father who loves us, but we together are the family of God. And one of the beautiful parts about family is, if it's functioning correctly, is that sometimes you know that you need to just be. And you actually need other people to come around you, to support you, to carry you, to lift you through whatever difficult time you might be going through. And we have seen the Lord do that in people's lives in different seasons in this church. One of the most oft-repeated things that people would say would be to say that Hillview was a place of healing for me. After a difficult time, I found a place of solace here, a place of peace, and that is a precious and beautiful thing. But we have to be careful that that does not become the only thing, or even perhaps the main thing. It can be so easy to leave aside the call of the kingdom of God and just settle for a little kingdom of comfort where we can find peace and rest in whatever season we're in. When we replanted, again, forgive me, you know, you have to bear with me at the moment. I'm very nostalgic, so I'm tracking back over the last 15 years a lot at the moment. And when we replanted from IBC to Hillview in 2011, at that point, things were in a real mess in the church. And we had this moment, a gift from God of being able to pray afresh and dream afresh about what God might be calling us to as a church. And in that vision we had, in fact we still have in that vision, a whole statement that says that we want to be a church which is expectant. And like all these vision statements, these are not things that we are. These are not things that we can tick a box. These are things that we aspire to in the Lord, that we see and we pray that He would enable us to more and more become together a church that is expectant. This is what it says. It says, we will never settle down in material affluence or comfort. Rather, we will be active in furthering God's work through this church. We will never give up. We will not see Christian service as a chore. Mindful of God's past faithfulness, we will move forward with renewed expectation. Now, I think one of the reasons we had that in there, one of eight vision statements, was because we were conscious. We felt that if God would be pleased to bring a sense of stability among us in what was a very tumultuous time, and if God would be pleased from that place of stability to bring growth in the church, growth of all sorts of kinds, growth of numbers, growth of discipleship, growth of ministries, if those things were to happen, then the temptation would come to see it as box ticked. We've done it. We've arrived. We've come from that place of struggle, and it was a struggle. Very, very few people serving week in, week out, just to kind of keep things going. And now we're at a point where there's flourishing ministries. There's growth. Yay! Job done. And of course, that's not the case. And that is a challenge for us. It has been a challenge. I think it is a repeated challenge for us in this church. And I'll be honest, I think it's worth flagging that it would be very easy for this to be the case in the current season of life in Hillview Community Church. There's growth just now. There's people joining in membership. You have a brilliant pastor in Scott. You have a wonderful elder in Colin Dennis. We pray that we will have a growing eldership very, very soon. We have wonderful staff in Dan and Andrew supporting all that God is doing here. There are people meeting Jesus, dear friends. There are four or five people exploring, getting baptized at the moment. Praise God. There are wonderful ministries that are thriving and developing. There are plans that are coming to upgrade these facilities that we come to week in, week out. There is so much to be thankful for. And I do want to frame it like that. These are all good things for which we must give thanks and praise to God. These are gifts of God. Gifts of God that if we're not careful can become ultimate things through which we can, again, if we're not careful, we can forget about a key part of who it is that we are called to be together. This is sermon two of the last three I have while serving as one of your pastors, and we're pondering this idea of who are we together. And my heart is that you would hold on to these key truths into this next season, and indeed for decades to come. We've been using this little phrase that has come up a few times over the years, that we are together. We are the family of God, sharing the love of God for the glory of God. So this week we're looking at this idea of sharing the love of God. This idea that we have a purpose, we have a calling beyond ourselves, a calling beyond the boundaries of Hillview Community Church, to look out, a calling to reach out, to share with others the wonderful, beautiful love of God. Now, we're not actually going to dig much into the weeds of how do we do that? In our vision statement, one of the things that's worth flagging is it makes clear that there are at least two sort of distinct parts to that as we think about sharing the love of God. Well, there is news to be shared. There are words that are to be used. There is the good news of Jesus that needs to be proclaimed, declared. There's evangelism to be done. And, as well as that, there are practical acts of love that need to be shown in tangible and practical ways. But what I want us to look at today is just for this call for us to be continually looking outwards. Because I think it's so important and it is so dangerous that we give up on that. Friends, we are a sent people. That is a fundamental aspect of who we are as Hillview Community Church, as followers of Jesus. We are people who have been sent out by Jesus. And we are people who, if we're following him faithfully, we're people who have heard that call of Jesus to go, and we go. And we go in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. And we go to bring others in to that love and that life of Jesus. That they too, then, may be on his mission. That they too may share his love with those that they come into contact with. I'd like to just read a bunch of verses that speak to this. So I'm going to start at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. If you would turn there, I think the verses are going to come up on the screen, but it's always good to follow along if you can. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to read a little section from each of the first five books of the New Testament. This is what it says. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you I am with you always to the end of the age." Would you turn over to the end of the book of Mark, please? And let's look from verse 15 of Mark chapter 16. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" Don't you love when Jesus just says stuff like that? "Preach the gospel, Hillview, to all creation." I love it. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." These are weighty words, just like the passage Dan read us was a weighty passage. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. "Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And Luke, I am sending you what my Father has promised. As for you, stay in the city until you're empowered from on high." Turn over more chapters, please, to John chapter 20, and we see these beautiful resurrection appearance words of Jesus from verse 21 of John chapter 20. "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you.'" So let's pray that during this whole message, it is not comfortable, this idea of we gotta go, we have to go. Let's pray that we would know the peace of Jesus. That's the context within which he says this. He says, "Peace be with you." As the Father has sent me, I also send you. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So Father, we just pray again that we might know the breath of God. We might know the presence of the Holy Spirit in this time. That we would not feel fearful. We would not feel conflicted. But that we would know your peace as we hear your voice. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's turn over a couple pages to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even Aberdeen. That's not in the Bible, but it's true. Friends, to be a Christian means to be a part of a worldwide movement of disciples, of followers of Jesus, of people commissioned by him to continue his work on this earth. We are to be people who go. Jesus died on the cross and purchased with his blood for himself a people. And that people was to be a sent people who would go and gather more sent people. That's what he meant when he told us to go and make disciples. He said, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, that's a lot of things, but it's not least the thing that he literally just told them to do, which was to go. So make disciples and teach them that they need to go. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is how God builds his church. We are not simply to gather converts at Hillview Community Church. We are not simply to gather as many people together who might love God, who might love his Bible, who might love his presence, who might love fellowship with one another, and then who just enjoy that together forevermore. That's not the calling. If that were the plan, if that were God's design, we would never have heard of Jesus. It would have finished in Acts chapter 1 in a room of about 120 people who had spent some time with Jesus, just them rejoicing that Jesus is alive together, and that's the end of the story. And that's, praise God, that's not what happened. That wasn't what Jesus wanted. And we get a glimpse of this even from the very start of his ministry. Even as in the way that he calls his first disciples, he says to Simon and Andrew, follow me and I will make you, some of you might remember some of the songs from Sunday school, that's right, Helen, fishers of men. Now what did he not say there? He didn't say, follow me and I will make you a great church with awesome parking outside. That's not what he said. He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you a bunch of great friends, besties for Jesus forevermore. That's not what he said. He doesn't even say, follow me and in that you will find all that you need in me. Now, of course, that's true, but that wasn't the nature of Jesus' call. As he called them out from where they were, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Which is to say, this is what it means to follow me. If you want to follow me, it means that you get fishing. This is what it's about. It means that you get fishing for more women and men who themselves will then become fishers of men and women. We see this, if you please, we turn back to Luke chapter 10. We've looked at this before, but I want to highlight it again here because it's fascinating. Jesus is about to, in Luke chapter 10, he's about to send out his biggest group of followers that he has yet. And look at what happens. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. And he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Isn't that interesting? He's sending out the largest crowd he ever has. And the thrust of his message to them as they go is, I need you to know the workers are few. There's work to be done. We need more workers for this harvest. Who will join in this adventure? They're being sent out to gather more followers of Jesus who will then themselves go into the harvest to join in the mission with Jesus. Our partnership, dear friends, with Jesus is not to end with us. Another one or two or more, we pray, added to our number. But our partnership is always to be about us making disciples who then themselves are called to go and to make disciples. We are not just to pray for an increase in salvations. We are to pray for an increase in sentness. And this is just a subtle but important change that we can make as we think about the coming years of the life of Hillview Community Church. And friends, Jesus was very stark about this. In the passage that Dan read for us, just before Luke chapter 10, look at what it says there. Someone comes and says to Jesus, verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus said some hard things sometimes. What's his point there? His point there is to say this is not about a destination. If you want to follow me, great. But it's not about finding some place of peace. This is not about a journey towards a place of comfort. This is about a sacrifice of sentness. Look at, he goes on, verse 59. He says there, he said to another, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go and bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is hard stuff. If you go forward again, friends, and you see this again, Jesus wanted to make so clear the cost of following him. Luke chapter 14, please, verse 25, it says this, now great crowds were traveling with them. Sorry. Great crowds were traveling with him. And again, our inclination might be just to go, praise God. Jesus is gathering crowds. We're gathering a great crowd. But Jesus knows there's a deeper challenge needed. Great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now we know that Jesus is using hyperbole there. We know that he doesn't want you to hate your, to the point of what we were, the video we were seeing earlier, we're to honor our fathers and mothers. We're to love our families, clearly. But he's making the stark point. I need to be number one. I need to be your clear priority in life. And then he says in verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now then, after that, Jesus shares two examples of the importance of counting the cost. Before you dive into something, he gives two different stories of before you make a decision, before you think you're all in, you need to think through how much it is going to cost. Now, this is so important, friends, for us in terms of how we think about our evangelism, how we think about drawing people, our friends, our families, those we love, to Jesus. We have to be so careful that we are not just about seeing people saved, and that being the end of the story. But we need them to understand that to be saved is to be sent. To be saved is to be sent to a life of discipleship, a life of following Jesus, a life of, as it says in Luke 9, daily taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following Jesus, sharing in his mission. Jesus went out of his way to make this clear. And so it should be at the very heart of our understanding of what it means to follow Jesus and to share the love of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. As this journey of discipleship happens, as this service of sentness, as all of this was unfolding, yes, oh, how present Jesus and his followers were with people. Yes, how they rested with people. Yes, how they cared for people. And this continued on right through the whole of the New Testament. You don't have to read much of the New Testament to know that Jesus and his followers were present with people, how they spread the blessing of God as they traveled. They cared for those in need. They took time with people to teach and to share with people. They did life together. They rested and they prayed. They cried and they rejoiced together with people. And this is the tension that we need to hold. What is it that comes right after this stark call to the reality, the tough reality of discipleship in Luke chapter 14? Well, it's Luke chapter 15 that comes after Luke chapter 14. What is Luke chapter 15 about? Luke chapter 15 is just Jesus laying out time and time and time again the beautiful love of the Father and the simple, profound, incredible joy that there is in heaven over one sinner who repents, over one child who stumbles home knowing that they just need the embrace and the love and the care of the Father. And they need to know the blessing that comes from being back safe in the Father's arms. And Luke 15 is about the rejoicing that there should be in that moment, that those who were once dead have come alive. So it's not either or. It's not that this stuff doesn't matter. It's glorious beyond words. It's not to be all about go, 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 you're sent, sent, sent. Nor is it only about we're saved, we're saved, we're saved. It's both and. This is the Christian life. It's ministry, resting in love and the goodness of God. And it's multiplication. It's that ministry bursting forth in the mission of God in all sorts of glorious, wonderful ways. We are saved by Jesus. And in that, we are bound to him. And in that, we see his worth. We see his beauty. And we need then others to see that. And in that, then we are sent out with Christ. We are sent out in Christ to draw others in to the wonderful reality of who Jesus is. Until one day, friends, one day he's going to come back and this mission will be no more. The worship, the praise, the fellowship, the joy will last forever. And the mission will be over one day. One day, but not yet. Until then, we have to hold these things together. Resting in Jesus and journeying with Jesus. Rejoicing that we are saved and being resolved that we would be sent again and again. You remember that picture that we've used in the past of maybe getting a sign on the door as you walk out which says, you are now entering a place of worship as you walk out into the world. Which is to say that as you go from this place this afternoon, your life is to be an offering of worship in the mission of God as he sends you out to be his light and his salt wherever he has put you through this week. We have to hold these things together. Paul captures this tension in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says this, "Thanks be to God, who always, first of all, leads us in Christ's triumphal procession." So there's the idea of journey forward. He leads us in the victory of Jesus. And as that is happening through us, he spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. This is the family of God sharing the love of God on a wonderful mission, stepping forward victorious in Jesus. And as we do that, making the place smell nice, spreading the fragrant aroma of Jesus. Where might God be calling us to as Hillview Community Church to spread that beautiful, fragrant aroma? Now, part of this has to do with church planting, which is part of our vision together as a church, to be a church that plants churches. Over in Kintore just now, as God's word is being taught, as people gather, as plans are being made for future ministry, friends, there is a fragrant aroma rising up that wasn't there 10 years ago. Which of course is not to say, I'm not in any way saying that God wasn't at work in Kintore 10, 15 years ago. Of course he was. Of course he was. Kintore Parish Church was seeking to serve God. And of course there was people in Kintore from all different churches across Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire shining the light of Jesus. But it's not like there is now. God is doing a new thing in Kintore. As he has always done, he is doing a new thing. There was a new wineskin that was required for the fresh outpouring of the blessing of God's work that he had planned in that area. And this is the pattern, friends, of the New Testament. This is how we came to be here today, because sent people were sent to this particular place for such a time as this. So as we close, I just want to encourage you again, keep on keeping on in that journey. You've heard me quote this quote from Ed Stetzer before, but I just want to encourage you with it again. Don't let your church, don't let Hillview Community Church become a cul-de-sac on God's Great Commission Highway. Don't let this church become a cul-de-sac on the highway of God's Great Commission. Aren't you so glad to reflect back on what God has done among us? Aren't you so glad that it didn't happen that in the 70s in Texas, that those churches over there, that they were not a cul-de-sac on the commission highway that God had, but that they made a bold plan in Texas in the 70s to say, we're going to send some people to Aberdeen and we're going to establish a church here called International Baptist Church, that one day would become Hillview Community Church. Aren't you so glad that those churches were not a cul-de-sac on God's Great Commission Highway? And don't we have so much to be thankful for, that as we look back in the last 10 plus years, that this one track of God's Great Commission Highway became two tracks, here and over in Kintore, in different places, so more people can get on that journey right where they are. The question is, where's next? Where's next? And I just want to encourage you, maybe the challenge and the encouragement is today, just begin to be praying about that. Does that question even enter your mind? Does that question even cross your heart as you pray? Hey God, where next? Where are we going to multiply to? From Hillview Community Church. Friends, I want to just tell you, just even on a practical purpose, you're going to have to do something, because this place is getting pretty full week by week. There's not that many more people that we can fit in here most Sundays now. Quite often there's extra rows having to be put out at the back. Now, some more people could sit a bit further forward, still not start drumming. But the point is, this room's getting full. So we're going to need to do something. And by the way, that won't last forever. If you stay in this mode, what you'll see is the attendance will go up and then it'll fall and it'll go up. And almost all the research suggests that once you get to about 80% of your capacity in a room, people do not feel comfortable. New people do not feel comfortable coming along because they're not sure if they're going to get a seat. They're not sure if there's going to be space for them. So you're going to have to do something about it on a practical basis. But even apart from that, much, much more important than that, we need to pray for eyes to see the depth of the spiritual need. And we need to pray for hearts that are burdened by that reality. We need to pray for the heart of compassion that Jesus had when he looked out and he saw towns and villages and cities and crowds and didn't just see the various things that were going on, but in the spiritual, he saw that they were sheep without a shepherd, that they were lost. Friends, there are so many lost sheep even near us right now. I did a bit of research over the weekend. Since I started at Hillview in 2011 and now, roughly 1,700 new homes have been built within a 3-mile radius of this building. So I'm told, sorry, my tablet just did something very weird. I'm told that the average number of people per home in general is about 2.3 people per home. So if 1,700 homes, roughly, times 2.3, friends, that's about 4,000 people who have moved into this area in the last 1,500, a lot more than that have moved in the last 1,500 years, in the last 15 years. That's 25 Hillviews of people have moved into the area. And that's, in addition to the about 9,000 people on our doorstep, Colts and Beardside, who have yet to encounter Jesus. So we need a vision. We need this vision. We need a vision for ministry here and multiplication around the northeast of Scotland. Because that's just the scale of what we need here in this 3-mile radius. What about the other communities from which we gather? Drumoak, Bankery, Dice, Dainston, King's Wells, West Hill, Echt, Aboyne, the city centre. Get this, from the info that we have on Church Suite, just 19% of us who count Hillview Community Church home live less than 3 miles from this building. 49% live between 3 and 10 miles away. And 35% of us live more than 10 miles away from this building. To which we could say, friends, what an opportunity this is. What an opportunity. We don't even need to ask one another to move house to pursue a strategy for church planning. Isn't that good news? We could set up churches where we're dotted around Aberdeenshire. There's so much need. I mean, God might call you to move house. He might call you to have a vision for more than Aberdeenshire. He might call you to have a heart for the nations. He does ask you to have a heart for the nations. He might ask you to cross a culture and go to a pocket of the world where the name Jesus has never been uttered yet to this point. May it be that there would be people among us who would have that heart for the global mission of God. But also, give us a vision for what it might look like to be a sent people just right here where we live. Friends, for this to happen, here's a truth. We have to be more ready to fail than we currently are. I was in touch with Jonathan and Ruth about church planting in Malawi. As one of the heartbeats of the ministry of Caruso Trust is that we have much to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world. Okay? And one of the lessons that you learn about church planting from other communities, and in particular I'm speaking here about Malawi, was how willing to fail they are. He said church planting is not an event. It's not a thing that they need to add to the agenda. It's just part of the culture. It's what God does. It's what kingdom growth looks like. It's what discipleship looks like. And they were saying that he was sharing with me, most churches have three or four what they call prayer houses operating at one time. And often, I find this fascinating, back to the family point we were just talking about a couple of weeks ago, often these prayer houses are formed in light of a deep grief or a deep loss or a deep tragedy that has happened, and people in the local community gather together and they pray, and then their heart is that that would become a local community of faith. And he was telling me that about 50% of these prayer houses that are established go on to be successful church plants. Now that is an incredible capacity for failure. Willing to fail half the time. Why? For the joy of the success of the other 50% of prayer houses that become local expressions of Jesus' church shining his light. Now culturally, this is a challenge for us here in Scotland. It is said of Scotland that this is a culture that hates losing more than we love winning. And we need to invert that. We need to flip that. We need to leave that mindset behind. We need to be people who are passionate about winning for Jesus. And I'll come back to what I mean by that in just a moment. We need to pray for a similar heart to that which C.H. Spurgeon had. Listen to this. He says, it is with cheerfulness that we dismiss our 20s. Sorry, our 12s, our 20s, our 50s to form other churches. We encourage our members to leave us to found other churches. Nay, we seek to persuade them to do it. We ask them to scatter throughout the land to become the goodly seed which God shall bless. I believe that so long as we do this, we shall prosper. We need to put that fear of failing away. And we need to, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we need to run in such a way that we might win the prize. We need to follow the example of Jesus who, what? For the joy that was set before him, sacrificed everything, endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him, so that we can know his life bursting forth here and from here to the northeast of Scotland and to the world around about us. Hillview, my prayer for you is and will continue always to be Acts chapter 9 verse 31. And the church throughout all Judea and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. I don't know if they know this yet, but this is pretty much going to be my prayer for Jersey Street as well, just so you know. I love this verse. Ian, could you pop it back up just for a few more moments? You see, it's not one or the other. It's not one or the other. Part of your sentness is to this place right here and to your street back home. And to your workplaces, to your communities, wherever God has put you. And in these places, dear friends, may you know the peace of God. May you know what it means to be strengthened and built up in Him. And may you know what it looks like to walk in the fear of God and in the comfort of the presence of God. Yes, we want that here, week by week, in our small groups, as we go from this place. Yes and amen to that. And as that happens, might God bring about more and more multiplication for the glory of His name. That's the next sermon. Why do you come to Hillview? Why are you part of this local expression of the body of Christ? Yes, to be family. Yes, to know that people have got you no matter what comes. That is one of the most wonderful things I've been able to say over the last 15 years. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I've been able to say, I know without any shadow of a doubt that no matter what tragedy was to befall me, I know that I'm going to be held by my brothers and sisters in this church family. That is beautiful. We cherish that and we praise God and thank Him for it. May we also say yes to His call that we would be a family sharing His love, a sent people, ready to count the cost, ready to take up our cross, ready to fail, ready to try again and again, ready to spread that beautiful, precious, fragrant aroma of Jesus as we walk around, ready to run the race in such a way that we might win the prize in Christ Jesus. Don't give up, Hillview Community Church. Don't give up. Don't settle in for comfort. Don't settle in for whatever nice little huddle we can create here. Don't let this gathering, as beautiful and as precious as it is, don't let this be the end goal. May you always be, by the grace of God, empowered by His Spirit, the family of God, relentlessly, endlessly, with great sacrifice and a great cost, but for a great prize, sharing the love of God for the glory of His name. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for saving us. What can we say? What can we say in light of your wonderful love, your forgiveness, your mercy, your redemption that you offer us? What can we say but thank you, God? Thank you. And thank you that is not the end of the story. Thank you that you purchased for yourself a people who would join you in your work, who would be your hands and your feet in this world. Thank you that you call us to be a sent people. So God, I just pray for my precious family here that you might enable them in the coming years and decades to not settle in for a place of comfort. To not settle in with that sense of, we've arrived. But to always be seeking what's next over the hill. What are you next calling us to, God? Lord, we pray for those homes that have been built in Miltimber and in countless wells and across the other side of the river. Lord, we pray for these 3,000-4,000 people who do not know you. God, we pray for the 9,000 people roughly in our very area here that do not know you. God, we pray for the tens of thousands of people around Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire who we rub shoulders with, who we care for, whose company we enjoy, who do not know you, who do not know the glory and the beauty of Jesus, who do not know life in Him, and who without Jesus will never know life, true life, and who will face an eternity apart from the true life of Jesus Christ in hell. God, give us a heart for these areas. Give us a vision. Give us a willingness to lay down our lives, our money, our time, our comfort for you, Jesus. You're worth it. You are so worth it. And what a joy, God, to partner in you. It's you who does all this stuff, God. We give you the praise and glory that is due your name. It's you who does it. What a joy that you get to invite us in. Just like a beautiful, perfect, loving father says to his little boy or little girl, hey, come work with me. Come work with me. God, give us that heart that we would see your work like that. And that we would join you with great zeal, great joy in stepping out. Increase our sentness, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.